Well, what a beautiful, beautiful atmosphere in the presence of God. How many agree with me? Amen. I wouldn't have it any other way. What's the use coming to church without the presence of God? And you know what? It's too easy to try and manufacture the presence of God. You don't have to do that. Amen. Just walk in the presence of God. Let Him do it. Amen. How many know what our theme, not our theme, but our book that we're going through this year? How many know it's 2 Peter? How many forgot it was 2 Peter? You all know. However, we're not looking at 2 Peter today. But I guarantee you, I've been looking at 2 Peter all week, the week before that, and we're up to, after, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks or 4 weeks, I'm not sure what it was, we're up to verse 3 and 4. I'm telling you, verse 3 and 4 are the bomb. Everybody say the bomb. I'm telling you. But that's next week. Even though I've spent hours and hours and hours on 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, I was going through some stuff this morning and everything's changed. So what I'm going to share today is more of a devotional. It's from my heart. How many know we can be friends around the table and just open up the word together? Can we do that this morning? Don't view me as somebody that's lecturing you. Let's just get around the word of God. Is that all right? Okay, so we're friends this morning. We got that right. I was looking this morning and I something's bubbling up. And I said, well, I can't preach what I was going to preach. I just want to preach something else. And this is like, has anyone ever made some bread? How many have ever made bread? Yes, a few of you. What's it like when you get that bread out of the oven? It's a beautiful. It's fresh. It's, you know, the smell. You put a bit of whatever, butter on it, and you just eat it, and you put a few spices, and there's nothing like fresh bread, is there? That's the word of God. I love the word of God because it's fresh bread. How many are ready for some fresh bread today? Come on. If it doesn't sound right, if it doesn't, you know, if it's a bit up and down, I only had this morning to prepare it. So I got up this morning and what I did prepare is for next week. But there's something on my heart today, and I pray that you receive it as the word of the Lord. Are you ready for the word of the Lord? You know, it was the prophet that said that they needed the word of the Lord. So he got a minstrel, got somebody to start playing, and got himself ready for the word of the Lord. We've done that for, I don't know, 3/4 of an hour. I pray that we're ready for the word of the Lord. How many are ready for the word of the Lord? All right, okay. Let me just say something before we do that. A recent survey said that, or asked the question, what are you expecting in 2022? How do you feel about 2022? And the answer was, 2022 is going to be better than 2021. In fact, I was reading online, somebody said, good riddance of 2021. And the survey said, people are hoping for better in 2022. I'm not so sure that that's the Christian point of view. The last time I looked at the Bible, I said this to my wife this morning, the last time that I looked in the Bible, in Romans chapter 8, says all things in 2021 work together, come on, help me out, for the good. Are you sure? Are you kidding me? Work together for the good, maybe not of everybody, but of those who? Come on, help me out. Those who? Those, how many here love the Lord? Listen, 2021 was an awesome year.
Why? Because you love the Lord, I love the Lord, and all things, good or bad, whether we perceive it or not, whether we receive it or not, good or bad, work together for the good of those that love him. Listen, just continue to love him. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to abandon you. He's not going to leave you in some corner somewhere and rot. No, no, no. He's not going to let stuff happen to you. Listen, God is still in control. I want you to shout amen. We've got some people that are away and rightfully so, you know. But let's pray for people. In fact, I was just thinking this morning, how about Wednesday night? I don't know if you're available, but if you're available, come to church and let's pray together. Will you and me pray together? If you're available, if you want to, if you don't want to, I pray by myself. I know how to have a praise party all by myself. I really do. So if you come, we'll have a praise party together. If you don't come, I'm going to do it by myself. Wednesday night, 7:30, all right? Amen. All right, that aside, what was I saying? The recent survey, 3/4 have this heart, this hope that 2022 is going to be better than 2021. I read another article this week that said, let's expect this, a year of living dangerously. What a difference. And this goes on and on. This particular article talked about the resurgence of COVID-19, climate emergency, the struggle of democracy versus authoritarianism. I don't know if you noticed, democracy's gone. That's another story. Mass migration, the resurgence of terrorism, interstate conflicts, Middle East hotspots, destabilization of the Asia Pacific, and not to mention what's happening in Europe, in the US. You know, we are in a constant state of flux. Things are changing all the time, all the time. If you didn't realize that, let me tell you. Things are changing all the time. And as we go into 2022, it's going to be more of the same. And I believe the only way to counter this is with a word of security and with a word of stability that comes from God himself. Amen. The only stability that we've got is in God. The only anchor that we've got is in God. The only rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. Shout amen. Listen, things are changing. Let them change. I know who knows what's going to happen in the future. I know who holds the future. I don't care what changes. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm happy all by myself today. I don't care what's going to happen. I know who holds the future. Malachi chapter 3 verses 6 says, "For I, the Lord, do not change." I love it. I, the Lord, everything changes, everything is changing. The decisions of today become history tomorrow. Did you notice that? But I, the Lord, and the emphasis here is I, the Lord. How many know that the Lord is still on the throne? Amen. I, the Lord, Jehovah, who was eternal, who is in the present, who is to come in eternity. I, the Lord, am in control. I do not change. Therefore, O children of Jacob, you are not consumed. Wow. God says, because I do not change, you're okay. I love that. How many love that? God says, despite the change around you, there is a rock. Despite the insecurities and the fears, despite the uncertainty of 2022, I am the Lord. And I do not change. And listen, I'm on the Lord's side. He is my Heavenly Father. If he doesn't change, I'm okay. Yeah. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a good clap offering. Because God doesn't change, Isaiah chapter 40 verse 8 says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but, that's one of my favorite words in the Bible, but, everything's so flimsy, so uncertain. Today it's there, tomorrow it's gone. That's the picture. But the word of our God will stand forever. But the word of our God will stand forever. If God stands forever and he doesn't change, so does his word. Come on, shout amen. So does his word.
You want a firm foundation? You've got it. It's called the word of the Lord. The one who does not change, last week said, peace, be still. That's a prophetic word for you and for me. Going into 2022, peace, be still. You know, I'd speak to too many people that are frightened about the future, that are driven by their fears. I decided a long time ago, I said to my wife, I refuse to be driven by fear. I'm not going to have it. Because if I'm driven by fear, I'm finished. But the last time I looked, I said that I'm a child of God and I'm a preacher of the word. And if I'm driven by fear, I'm finished. Now, peace, be still. A couple of days ago, I sent a verse out to everybody. How many received it? Little message. And there was a verse that came with it. Now, be honest. Be honest. Who looked up the verse? Lift up your hand. Lord Jesus, help us. I didn't write the verse on purpose. To test you. And sure enough, you failed the test. Not all of you. But before I said, God gave me grace. And today we're going to look at that verse in a little bit of detail. Here it is. The verse that I sent everybody, which most here didn't look at, but I guess the people online did. Yeah, they did. I'm sure that there's a number of people online because they can't be at church, but I'm sure that they had a look at it. It's found in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 11. What a wonderful scripture. I'm going to get this. I'm going to put it on my desk. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 11. I want us to stand up. We're going to read this together. Can we do that? Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 11. This is such a beautiful verse. I want you to get a hold of it. I want you to embrace it. I want you to run with it. I want you to go with it. I want you to meditate on it. I want you to allow the Lord to use this verse right through the year for his glory. Come on, let's read it together. And the Lord will guide you. Wow. And satisfy your desire in scorched places. What that means is dry places. Like drought places. Okay, there's nothing there, nothing lives. Okay, in those drought places, God says, I'm going to satisfy your desire and make your bones strong. Keep reading with me. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters... Oh, Lord Jesus, help us. Hallelujah. Come on, let's pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your word. We thank you for the nourishment of your word, for the freshness of your word, for the living characteristics of your word. And as we receive it as fresh bread, fresh water, soul-satisfying drink from the Lord. Father, I pray that your word just impacts us, nourishes us, challenges us, blesses us, corrects us, realigns us, shows us, guides us in the path that we need to take. Let it be for your glory. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Please take your seats. I wish I could simply tell you, in 2022, it's going to be your year of favor. 2022 is going to be your year of blessings. 2022 is going to be your year of good things. Expect all the best stuff. 2022
is going to be the year where God gives to you the desires of your heart. 2022 is the year for you. The aspirations that you had, the dreams that you had are going to come to pass in 2022. I wish I could tell you that. However, I'll let somebody else tell you that. Because if I did, I'd be deceiving you. I said we're around the table and just talking friends. Is that all right? We're just friends. You see, I'd be deceiving you into a false sense of security about 2022. And then when the end comes and you didn't get your blessings and your favor and your good things and the desires and the dreams, you blame me or blame God for not because it didn't happen. It's the wrong way of looking at 2022. Also, I'd be flattering you, telling you what you want to hear to make you feel good. And if you feel good, then you're going to pat me on the back. Listen, I don't need to make you feel good and you don't need to pat me on the back. All you need to do is say thank you for the word of the Lord. I'm losing some friends. I hope not. I hope not. Are you with me? Okay. If I did that, I'd keep you in bondage. Because it's only the truth that sets you free. And as far as I'm concerned, I want to bring to you truth. Are you ready for some truth today? Isaiah 58:11 is a promise. And if it's a promise that God gave his people that long ago, it's also a promise that he gives to us today. Because there's an amazing thing about the word of God. It's relevant and fresh all the time. That's why it's the word of God. It doesn't grow old. It doesn't set, you know, it doesn't start growing mold and all that sort of stuff. No, no, no. It's the word of the Lord. It is fresh. It is new. It is powerful every day. Come on, shout amen. Every day. And the word of the Lord is for today. So this promise is for today. Now, let me just touch on a couple of things before we wrap it up. It says that God wants to guide us. It says the Lord will guide you continually. The Lord will guide you continually. The whole thing about guidance here, if you were to look into the original language, is not that's the way you have to go. Go that way and then turn right and then turn left and turn. No, that's not what God is saying. He's not saying in 2022, I'm going to guide you by telling you where to go or telling you how to go. He does that, but he does something more. The word guide you is, here's my beautiful wife over here. Come over here. The word guide you in this context is the word, the Lord says, hey, I am going to guide you. All you have to do is keep walking with me. In 2020, you want to make it to the end of 2022 and you want to keep praising God and you want to be exuberant at the end of it and you want to be happy and peaceful, let him guide you. Let him take you by that hand and come with me in 2022. You've got no choice anyway, but come with me in 2022. That's the guidance of the Lord. He's not going to say, go and do it. But how? No, I told you go. But how? No. He's going to say, I'm going to guide you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to take you with me. All right? We're going to do this together. Amen. Amen. In 2022, I guarantee you, you're going to see the end of 2022 not as a defeated individual, but an individual that's been able to thrive, not survive. What's survive about? Listen, survive is for somebody else. Survive is for the unbeliever. Survive is for the person that's got no hope. We are people of hope. We hope in the Lord God Almighty. It's not about survival. It's about thrival. Amen. I guarantee you, if you allow the Lord to guide you by his hand, with his hand, he will make sure that you will thrive in the end of 2022. You know, the word continually
is all about the security that God gives you. It doesn't happen once and then you miss out the second time. It doesn't happen twice and you miss out three times. That guidance is on a continuing. How many need a continuing guidance? Amen. That's what it is. That's what it is. So if he guides you today, it doesn't mean that he takes a holiday tomorrow. Oh, but something tragic happened. It's still there. Oh, but I didn't know it was going to... God's still there. He didn't suddenly take a holiday because something went wrong in your life. Listen, there might be reasons why something goes wrong. And you might have been stupid about some decisions. But it doesn't matter. God still gives you grace in the stupid decisions. He'll guide you. Then it says, he'll satisfy your soul. The word satisfied is to be satiated. It's to have an enormous plate of lasagna and at the end of it say, oh, praise the Lord. Oh, oh, I can't fit another mouthful. It was so good. That's what that's talking about. He's going to guide you, but he's not going to just let you do it by yourself. He's going to take you by the hand and go with you. He's going to satiate you. He's going to make you so happy and content that you don't know where that contentment comes from. You know the world doesn't have this kind of stuff. You realize that, don't you? And yet, sometimes I look around and I find that Christians don't have it either. And I scratch my head. What happened? What happened? They're not being satiated. You know, it's the coming to a place of contentment and peace and refreshing, despite being in scorched places. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, the last time I looked, the whole world is in a scorched place. Yeah. Yeah. Do you realize that? Yeah. The whole world is a dry place. The whole world is a terrible place in the sense of, you know, there's very little life around. You watch the news and you want to go and commit suicide yourself. It's a terrible situation when you look around the world today, a world in sin without God. But you're a believer. I'm a believer. We are born again by the Spirit of the Lord. We have Jesus living inside of us by the Holy Spirit. Hey, there needs to be some difference. There needs to be some difference. And if you don't quite know what that means, next week, the bomb. We're going to talk about what that means next week. Because sitting in churches all over the world are people that call themselves Christian, but they're not born again. And it's a tragedy of enormous proportions. That's why they're up one day and down the next. Content one day and angry the next. Sad, confused. What's the difference? The difference is they're probably not born again. Talk about that next week. Satisfies your soul. Even though there might be a drought around you, you're in a safe place, a secure place, a peaceful place, a green place. And you can say with that chorus writer who said, it is well. It is well with. Is there anything better than you can say? Huh? It is well. It is well. It is well with my soul. And there's the orchestra and I love that because there's so much truth in there. It is well. That's what that's talking about. It's going to be well with your soul. You're going to be well looked after. The Lord's going to be with you. He's not going to let you wander around by yourself like a sheep that goes, kills themselves over some ravine. No, no, no. The shepherd is with you. Makes your bones strong, sustains your strength. Strong bones are about strength. I'm afraid there's too many chocolate Christians all over the world. When the sun comes out, they melt. You know what my hope is? that there's no chocolate Christians among you today. That's my hope. And if you, in 2021, have been like a chocolate Christian, every couple of days there's a meltdown, there's something wrong. And I pray that you make some sort of commitment this year that helps you to grow strong bones, a bit of resilience, a backbone. No matter the weather out there, you're still standing. 2022, I'm still standing. 2023, come on, I'm still standing. 24, 25, whatever God gives you on the face of the earth, I'm still standing. It's not how you begin that counts, although that's okay. It's how you finish. And I pray that you and I finish well. Finish well. I was talking to Louise about a couple of pastors, people that I've known in the past and people that I still know that haven't finished well. One of them, their marriage is broken. Another one's in jail. I don't know what's going to happen with these people. I didn't finish well. Don't take it for granted. He makes your bones strong. Like a watered garden. Oh, I love that. A spring whose waters do not fail. Listen, the grass is not greener on the other side. The grass is greener where you water it. And if the grass in your life is not green, spiritually speaking, God didn't move. You did. And you're not watering. And I pray today, I've got two watering cans. No, I've got the hose. Come on. Amen. Water. Living water. You know, the water is the Word. The Word is Jesus Christ. Amen. So Isaiah's promise, because I want to get into the second part of this before we finish. Isaiah's promise in this particular verse, chapter 58 and verse 11, is one of guidance, one of satisfaction, one of strength, and one of continual nourishment. We can go home right now. But listen, I will not let you go home yet. And I'll tell you why. Because that's only half the story. You want the other side of the story? One person. Okay, let's go home. Musicians. How many want the other side of the story?
Yes.
Half of you. How many really want the other side of the story?
Yes.
Okay, the eyes have it. I hope that you're ready for the other side of the story. Because somebody said context is king. And when you look at the context, and I haven't got time to get into the context, but when you look at the context of this particular chapter and passage of Scripture, you'll find that Israel was in a mess. Israel had lost it, backslidden. Israel was into idolatry. Israel was doing all the wrong things. Israel had forgotten God. But if you read the context, that chapter, when you go home, read it, you'll find that even though they had backslidden, even though they were in a mess, even though they were chasing after idols, even though they had the attitude of the world and doing the stuff that the world was doing, they still had a form of worship. I remember seeing that in the New Testament somewhere. But let's not worry about that for now. They had a form of, they still worshipped. They still went through the rituals. Angelique. They still fasted. And God had enough of it. And so he rebukes them. He says, that's not good enough. Chapter 58, verse 1 says this. And this is the prophet now, on behalf of the Lord. Cry out, cry aloud.
Do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Wow. Verse 9 then says, and then he told them what to do and what not to do and how to change their lives and all that sort of stuff in between. And then verse 9, it says, you will call on the Lord and he will answer. But something had to happen between verse 1 and verse 9. But then it repeats it after verse 9. So we won't go from verse 1 to verse 9. I just want to repeat a couple of things that he said. Before we do that, you know, my prayer for you is that this year will be the year where we learn to call on the Lord and the Lord answer us. So it's quite clear from verse 9 that God was not hearing them, even if they were calling, because there was stuff in the way. He was not hearing and he was not answering. Verse 9 says, you will, provided you do certain things, you will, if you do certain, you will. So there's a condition to the promise that we read in verse 11. Verse 11 gives us an amazing promise. I love it. How many love it? I love it. The guidance of God, the blessing of God, you know, the strength of God, the provision, everything is there in verse 11. But he said, listen, this is part of the rebuke. And the rebuke says, listen, you're not in a good place. There's a sinful condition happening time and time again, and I'm not going to put up with it anymore. You need to change your ways. If you change your ways, then you will call on the Lord. And when you call on the Lord, having changed your ways, I'm going to listen to you and I'm going to answer your prayers. That is the way it works. Come on, give me a good amen. Amen. That's the way it works every time. You see, what tends to happen is we forget the Lord, we forget his word, and we don't do his will. And that's the pattern. We lose our relationship with God. We lose our passion for his word, and we no longer know what it means to do his will. As the way it worked then, as the way it works now. What's it going to be? So, he says in verse 9 and 10, I want you to do three things. Perhaps just for a bit of context, let's have a look at Isaiah 58, 9 and 10. Can we get that up? There it is. Then you shall call on the Lord and I will answer, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking of wickedness. Continue. If you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be changed as the noonday. If is the operative word there, if. And there's a suggestion here, not a suggestion, a command, that you must stop doing three things, you must start doing two things. In there, there's a lot more that we're not going to talk about today. But let me just mention them, that's it. Just mention them. Maybe you can be like the Bible talks about a group of people called the Bereans. Every time the Apostle Paul spoke and taught the Word of God, they'd go home and check out what he said. When you go home, check out what I said. Okay? Study it for yourself. I'm just going to put it out there.
And so you need to stop doing three things. You need to adopt and begin to do two things, verse 9 and 10. The first thing you need to do is stop oppressing the people. What it's talking about is don't put more burden on the people than what they've got. Don't put a yoke of heaviness on the people around you. We're not here to share each other's pain. We're here to add grace to people, add value to people, and lift them from their pain. If you're going around sharing pain, you're adding burden to the people. You're adding unnecessary yokes on the people. Don't alleviate, make yourself feel better by putting your pain on somebody else. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. It doesn't mean that you can't share with somebody that is helping you. It's a different context. But very often people feel better when they pass around their pain and burden other people with the pain that they've got. And very often you need to take responsibility for your own pain and bring it before the Lord. Come on, give me a good amen. Is this too much? That's what's happening these days. We're oppressing the people around us. What we need to do is learn to treat people with respect, give grace, lift their burdens, don't add to their burdens. Come on, give me a good amen. Second thing he said don't do, he says don't point the finger. Don't blame shift. This is all about judgment and shifting blame. And I don't know about you, but I've realized over the last couple of years that this is rampant among Christians. I've never seen so much division and anger and fighting over this thing called COVID. God help us. It ought not be among believers. Stop shifting blame. Stop dividing. Stop getting angry at people around you. Stop. It's none of your business to go shifting blame on everybody else. If the blame lies with you, if there's something wrong with you, own your own stuff. Don't go judging and don't go shifting blame. Don't go adding pain. You're not there for those things. Don't be part of division and anger. Third thing he said to them, stop speaking wickedness. When we see the word wicked in the Bible, we often think of bad stuff, you know, all the bad speech and the cursing and the swearing. It can include that, but it's not that. When it talks about speaking wickedness, it's what it's saying is don't talk like the world talks. Don't talk the normal things of the normal world. And I think it's high time as believers that our language changed. Are you listening to me? We don't speak the language enough that comes from the Word rather than from the world. Change the language. Change the language. Your neighbor needs it. Your friend needs it. Your family needs it. Change the language. Change the language. Refuse to speak wickedness. Change your speech. Truth, grace, help, heal with your words. Amen. Does this sound too hard? But it's not that common. You see, there's sins of commission. Stuff that they were doing which they shouldn't do and they were sinful. But there's also sins of omission. Stuff that you ought to do, know to do, but don't do. And very often we're guilty of both. And then he talks about the sins of omission. He says, what you need to do is extend your soul to the hungry. Satisfy the desire of the afflicted. And it doesn't necessarily mean in a literal sense, although in their case, it probably was a literal sense. So it can be the literal sense, but there's also the spiritual sense as well. And very often we know people and hang out with people and let them go hungry and starving, even though we know and hang out with them in a spiritual sense. Listen, if the people around you are not being nourished in a spiritual sense as well as in a natural sense, they're missing out. Especially if they rub shoulders with you often. We have a responsibility to the hungry and the malnourished in a spiritual sense, as well as in a natural sense. By the way, next week we're going to show you some pictures. A couple of weeks ago, we took up just an impromptu offering and we gave it to this particular pastor in the church in the Philippines. How many remember that? Okay, we gave it to them. We sent it to them a couple of days later. And ever since, I'm getting do-do-do-do. You know, you get the notices on your phone. Do-do-do-do. But the phone's going crazy. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I've got at least 50 pictures, maybe 100 pictures that the pastor has sent me, all the stuff that they've done with that $3,000. I love that. I love that. And one of the things that they did was distribute 200. I thought, how far did they make this money stretch? 200 parcels to the poor. The people that were needing food there and then. 200. I thought, wow, that was great. So we'll show you a couple of pictures next week. So there's that sense, but there's also, there's people that are starving in their soul. There's people that are starving, they're afflicted. We know that the devil is out to destroy people, to steal from people, to kill people. We know that, and yet we don't become the answer that they need. And of course, we're not the real answer. We're the answer in the sense that we point these people to Jesus, who then becomes their real answer. Amen. Come on, give me a good amen. So stop doing the wrong thing. Start doing the right thing. If you do make these changes, you'll call on me and I will hear you. And, come on, I will answer you. And, verse 11. Let's have that up again. Verse 11. I've got it written here. I write everything down. Verse 11 says, and the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desires in scorched and dry places. Make your bones strong. You'll be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Listen, people should be able to spend time with us and feel refreshed because of us. Did you know that? Are they? I pray that God's just challenging the heck out of us, whatever that means. Making us feel uncomfortable so that in 2022 things will change. So that in 2022, we're not just surviving, but we are thriving. Can I leave you one more verse? You want to attract the attention of God? How many of you want to attract the attention of God? Let me leave you with one more verse. It's found in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 and 11 says, for God is not unjust, so as to overlook your work. He will not overlook your work. Your work. I pray that 2022 can't be described for you as a lazy year. where you just let things happen around you, but you didn't contribute anything. God is not unjust so as to overlook your work. There's got to be work in order for him to see it. And the love that you have shown so that people can pat you on the back. No. It says here, for his name. I said a couple of weeks ago, we're not into volunteers. How many remember that? It's not a biblical word. We're into serving the Lord wholeheartedly together. Amen. And he gets the glory. Okay? And the love that you're shown in his name in serving the saints, as you still do. And we desire that each one of you show the same earnestness to have the full assurance of hope until the end. Do this and you will thrive in 2022. How good is the Lord? Amen. And when you get to the end of 2022 and you've made some adjustments and changes, and the promises and blessings of God of verse 11 of Isaiah 58 become yours, I want you to come and tell me. Don't keep it to yourself. Don't be selfish. Come and tell me what the Lord has done in your life and through your life for his glory. Amen? Let's stand. Let's worship for just a couple more moments. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word today. Not only the encouragement of your word, but Lord, you've given us some fresh insights, some fresh revelation about what it really is all about. What 22 is all about, 2022 is all about. Too often, we make it about ourselves. And Father, we pray that you forgive us for making things about us, about our well-being, about our family, about our circumstances, about all the stuff that we want for us. Help us to make it about others, to serve you for your glory, to serve you in order that your name be lifted up above every other name, to serve you knowing the wonderful benefits that come in serving you. Father, bless your people with your word today. Help us to align our lives to your word and let it be for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.